Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show, hosted by author, investor, money partner, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. Thank you for joining us. Today we're joined by Mike Ferry. Mike is the founder of the Mike Ferry Organization, North America's leading real estate coaching and training organization with tens of thousands of clients. Mike has been repeatedly recognized by the National Association of Realtors as one of the most influential people in the entire real estate profession. Mike, we welcome you to our show.
Thank you, Bruce. It's nice to be here.
Carr recently produced a report that said that in 2002, 72% of the buyers were considered traditional, 28% non-traditional, and in 5 years, those percentages completely reversed, with only 28% of the buyers considered traditional. How have most agents reacted to this shift in the consumer's buying habits?
I hate to even tell you this, but I don't think most agents recognize the shift has taken place.
I would agree with that.
If you, as you and I both know, that the major portion, probably up to 75 to 80% of all deals, are transacted by 15% of the agents, I don't think most agents are cognizant of the shift in the market, even the shift we're experiencing right now as we speak.
What do buyers do differently? What have they done differently in the last 5 years? How do they find properties that are different?
Well, I think the biggest thing that we've gone through from, say, 2000, the year 2000 and 2007 today, is the fact that we went through a period in the early 2000s where up to 40 to 45% of all buyers of residential properties were buying as investors, either to buy as an investment or hold on to that property a long period of time, or buy it to get quick appreciation, or buy it, fix it, and flip it. So we had a tremendous amount of buyers that really weren't buying real estate as a traditional buyer would. They were buying more from the standpoint of greed to make money fast as an investment. And I think that that is the biggest thing we saw from 2000 to 2006. Now it's shifting back again to normal traditional buyers.
Do these traditional buyers of 2007, compared to their counterpart in 2002, try to find the property they want in a different way?
I don't think so. I think, you know, we all know that the Internet is obviously a vast resource for people to look and scan to see what properties they want to see, but they're still calling their local agent every single day. It's still sign calls, ad calls, walk-ins, referrals. That is still how business is being done. We were all afraid in probably 1996 that the major portion of all transactions should be done through the Internet, and now we discovered that really none of the transactions are done through the Internet, although they search for that way. So I don't think that the process has changed. They're still looking for good agents who can find them a property. It's a good price, a good value, a good neighborhood, etc.
An agent taking your training is most relieved that they can stop doing what activity?
An agent taking our training is most relieved they can stop doing what activity? None, because we are activity-based, 100%. I think if you ask that question of our competitors, they would all have many answers. From I don't have to manage my time, I don't have to prospect anymore, I don't have to make canned presentations. We're a very, very sales-oriented training company, like IBM or Xerox or anybody else. We teach specific steps they have to follow. We eliminate things, we add to it.
I would think most people in the real estate industry hold open houses. Do you find that that's a worthwhile?
Well, there's two ways to get business. In any sales business, we can either wait for clients to find us, or we can go find clients. And open houses, floor time, which are considered to be more traditional activities in real estate, you're dependent upon somebody trying to find you. With person productivity in the United States of real estate people being as low as it is, it's obvious most people in real estate that are agents are waiting for the prospects to find them. Open house is a great way to have them find you as long as you don't want to sell a lot of houses.
Okay. All right. Most agents really have, I think, very little quality time. I'm talking about the typical agent. If you ever go to lunch with one, their phone goes off the hook constantly, and they work very late at night. They work on weekends, and it seems to be that your training has guided them to where they have actually spare time and time off. So what is different about what you train these people to do?
Well, we try to treat our customers the same we want our customers to treat their business, and that is to treat it like an actual business. we believe, and I feel very strongly about this, that everybody has a right to have a life, and nobody should have to work 24/7. We're not doctors on call in emergency wards of hospitals. We're real estate professionals. And as a real estate professional, you have a right to work 40, 50 hours a week. You have an obligation to do that, I should say. And you also have a right or an obligation to have time for yourself. So we teach people to follow a very disciplined schedule where they're working 40, 50 hours a week, 5 days a week. The rest of the time, their beepers are off, their cell phones are off. They're not responding to calls. They have a life outside of real estate, which is what business people do.
In that report that Carr produced this year, it talked about that this non-traditional buyer, which was now dominating the marketplace, expected that the agent would be almost immediately available, and if it passed 60 minutes response time, they would have a problem with it. Do your agents kind of reteach their client how to look at it differently?
Well, there's two issues there, another very important thought. Issue number one is we teach our clients to control inventory, which is to list property. And then the other agents work with the buyer and bring the buyer to them and their listing. So we teach that 70% of your total income annually should come from listing sold versus buyer-controlled sales. But with those agents that are working with buyers, we tell our agents, you have to set down the rules on how you're going to work with the buyer, and you have to explain those rules to the buyer. You have to say, okay, what are the rules you're going to follow as an agent to help a buyer? You know, what is the process you're going to take them through? What is the guidelines that you are going to share with that buyer so the buyer knows, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you have to be in control of your schedule if you want to control the results.
I listened to the recorded information on the website, and it sounds like agents come over and over again to the same event. And I think that's quite a compliment to your training. Why the repetition?
Well, right now they are having the fall practice training sessions for professional football. Right now you have NBA, National Basketball Association, players going to camps to start preparing for next season. So, you know, in football, baseball, basketball, whether you be a tennis player, a golfer, you have a preseason routine where you're going to spend weeks and weeks and weeks preparing for the event of going out and doing your job. Why should it be any different for a real estate person? You know, we have to learn certain things. We have to practice certain things. We have to do certain things a certain way. And if we do those, we will have success at a very, very high level. And obvious with the people that we train. So therefore, we tell our agents, you know, if you have to learn these particular scripts, if you practice and rehearse once, you're going to forget what they are when you have your impact with your prospect, your buyer-seller. But if you go back to our events two or three times a year, these things will always be at the top of your head and your chance for success increases. We treat this just like any other profession. You don't work for IBM and go to one training class once and never go back. If you're a doctor, you're required by law to go back and take additional medical training throughout the course of the year. Same with an attorney. Same with a pilot for a commercial airline. American Airlines pilots are constantly being brought back in for training, and that's if they've been flying a commercial plane for 30 years. We apply the same thing to real estate people.
Do you find it's easier to train someone that's brand new or redirect someone with experience?
The answer is yes, and I say that kiddingly, because we do both. Obviously, everything depends upon the attitude and the expectations of the person going into the business. If the attitude of the experienced veteran is, hey, I need to change my ways and maybe Mike Ferry's organization can help me, then we love having that agent as a client of ours. If an agent's starting brand new in real estate and they say, you know what, I don't know anything and these guys can teach me how, then we'd like to have that agent as a client. So it really depends upon the attitude and expectations of the agent. We love working with both types of clients. But the biggest thing is, how much do they want to sell? How much do they want to earn? How big do they want their business to be? And then let us help them get there.
In the past 30 years, there's been three downturns where sales volume has sharply declined, and this is the third one now. How does this decline in volume of sales differ from the declines in the earlier 80s and the 90 downturns?
Oh, that's a great question, and I think it's a much more complex answer than I'm going to give you. The biggest difference we have today is the fact that we had the longest upturn that I've ever seen, and I've been in real estate for 40 years, So we had the longest upturn, okay, which was about a 9 to 10 year straight up marketplace. So whenever you have a upturn that long and that strong, you're going to have a downturn to balance things out. And so that would make this downturn a little more severe. But second to that, you had, and we all see this in the newspapers and media every day, we had that terrible, terrible, terrible situation of what I would call simple greed, where lenders decided to lend people money in the early 2000 to 2005 that weren't qualified to buy a house. And as a result, they made a lot of loans and real estate made a lot of sales. This downturn is much worse because those people are going to lose those homes. We're going to have probably one of the highest repossession rates in the history of our industry over the next 2 to 3 years. Add to that the fact, as I said earlier, we had 40% investors, people that were basically greedy trying to make money fast off of real estate. Those people are panicking because they're putting all those homes in the market. So what we have today is a much worse market in the past because we have the biggest inventory probably in the history of our industry. In addition to that, we also have another factor, which is all the home builders, which were building and had committed to building, okay, a lot of properties over the next couple of years, and those commitments have to be fulfilled. So we have enormous inventory of home builders, enormous inventory of investors, enormous inventory of repossessions, plus normal buyers and sellers buying and selling. So this, I think, will be a much worse market, but a better opportunity for good agents than we've ever had in the past.
That was a great answer. I've interviewed the chief economist for the California Association of Realtors and the builders and so forth, and I'd have to say that I really believe that they did not see this coming. Do you think most? I was just wondering. Do you think most realtors had a fair warning? Because I really don't think they did.
Well, we've been telling the real estate industry for the last 2.5 years. We started in January 2005, saying this is coming. It cannot be avoided. You cannot do what you did, what we were doing, and not have this take place. Nobody would listen to me. I mean, they laughed at me, and they just told me I was nuts, and I just smiled and said, okay. One of the oldest jokes that you could hear in college is if you take all the economists of the world and line them up, and you'd never reach a conclusion. So if you take that kind of thinking, I personally don't have a lot of faith in the economists because they're trying to project something that they probably don't have the day-to-day research on that particular market to project. But it didn't take a brain surgeon to figure out you can't have 1% and 1.5% loans on million-dollar properties with people putting no money down that don't have income to support it to realize that in a couple of years when those loans come due, there has to be a potential disaster taking place. And that's what we saw.
I asked this question to the chief economist of the builders. I asked him on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being most important, the fact that California is going to be dealing with the largest number of foreclosures in history, how would you rank that? And his answer was that a 1 is not important. I was very surprised at that.
I'm glad you and I are not investing in home builders right now then, because I think it's going to be a tremendous... Well, look at the profits being reported by all the home builders nationwide over the last 90 days.
Yes,
the profits have fallen 50, 60, 70%. So if you're not recognizing the reality of the market, somebody said one time to me that the most important part of business is recognizing the reality of your marketplace.
Absolutely.
And the people that we're training and coaching, we're helping them recognize the market and the reality of it so they can go out and succeed in this market, because it's a wonderful opportunity for those that want to succeed.
So your training takes into account these cycles and tries to tell them in advance what's coming.
We started telling them 2.5 years ago, and quite honestly, most brokers, managers wouldn't listen to us. Boy, are they listening now.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I certainly feel the same way. In 97, we wrote a report talking about prices doubling in California by 2005. And then in 2005, we wrote a report called the California Countdown, which was a warning of this is going to get ugly. And the same thing, you could not get invited to a real estate office to share that because they just did not want to hear it.
No, they wouldn't listen to me, and they wouldn't listen to you, and hopefully they'll listen better in the future. So when we have other downturns, it isn't as traumatic for them.
Looking forward, then, how will the most successful agents make money in the next 3 years?
There's two issues. One is the issue of controlling large amounts of inventory, and second, and that's critically important. So they have to learn how to go out and list property, whether it be find the prospect, qualify the prospect, do the lead follow-up to the prospect, make the presentation of the prospect, handle the prospect's objections, close them, and get a contract signed. And then second to that is they have to really learn how to use market statistics for pricing, because the pricing is the issue on getting your property sold. If a property that an agent is listing is not number one or number two in the marketplace for pricing, then there's very little chance that property is going to sell in a 3, 6, 9 month period of time. So the two things they have to learn is how to list property and how to price property.
In a boom market, I would think listings would be extremely profitable, and you still feel that that's still the most profitable avenue for a real estate agent?
Yes. It's the only way you're going to sustain for a long period of time a substantial income as a real estate agent is to be a strong listing agent. It's the only way to make it happen. If you look at the last 30, 40 years, the agents that have succeeded year in and year out with all the major organizations in North America, they have all been strong listing agents.
Does your company provide any training in short sales?
We are just starting to provide that because the market is, right now, from what we are hearing from our clients, it only represents 5 to 8% of the transactions in a marketplace. That number is going to change between now and the end of 08, so we're now starting to prepare that.
Between short sales and lender-owned properties, by the end of next year, 2008, it will probably represent a third to 40% of all transactions.
So, depending on the state.
Yeah, I'm talking about California. That's the only state I'm really very familiar with. Is there any, and you said control large amounts of real estate. I would assume then many of your agents really pursued the lender-owned properties.
The sad part about what you're just explaining, which is, by the way, also the truth and reality, is that most of the lenders were not cognizant of what was taking place. Look at how many lenders nationwide have gone out of business the last 30, 45 days, closed their doors. They weren't even looking at the reality of the marketplace. So the lender-owned transactions and the short sales are going to be dependent upon how fast the lenders wake up, smell the coffee, look in the mirror and say, we need help from the realtors to get these properties sold. Up till this point, most of them still are not accepting the reality of the marketplace.
Well, what's interesting, this was a week ago on Sunday, where they did a little article about the foreclosures and the broker price opinion process, and I was just amazed to read that the broker price review was taking place in India, and that and that's where they had determined what price we should end up asking for the property in California. And with that kind of a disconnect, there's no wonder lenders are just not selling the inventory.
I don't understand most of what this industry does. I probably have said for the last 30 years, I'm probably one of the most ignorant people in the industry why they do what they do. But I do understand how to get an agent to do what they're supposed to do to sell state in high volume, and that's what most agents' goal is. So what you're saying does not surprise me at all.
How do buyers change their buying habits when real estate stops increasing in price?
Well, I think there's always the issue of what is the purpose of the purchase. You know, what is a buyer trying to accomplish? The agent has to have the courage of their convictions to sit down with the buyer and really pre-qualify them in depth from not only why they want to buy to what they want to buy, but how they're going to finance it. And part of that is the motivation of the purchase. What is their purpose in buying? If they're buying from the standpoint of greed and flipping it and making money, and the agent doesn't disclose the reality of the market to the buyer today, shame on everybody. But the truth is, you can still sell a lot of homes to those people. Because, see, one thing never changes. People always move up, they always move down. Okay, that's just the reality of the market. A major portion of all sales are just people moving up and moving down for whatever reason. As long as agents are talking to those people, the sales are going to be there for them.
Plus, there's always people who want to go from renter to owner. When I started really thinking about what was coming in California, I thought, well, maybe I should, in fact, sell my home. I think economically that would be feasible, good idea. So I made a call to somebody that had a home for rent, and we kind of agreed on a monthly rental. And then he said, yeah, I need to ask you a question. I said, what is that? And he said, do you have any pets? And I said, you know, that's a great question. I said, you've just proven that I cannot be a renter because I don't want to ever have to answer that question again. So there's a lot of reasons why people own homes that aren't connected to whether it goes up or down.
That's exactly right. In fact, I would say if you take the block of time between 1997, 98, and 2006 out, up until that point, most people bought for reasons outside of making money on real estate.
Absolutely true. There was a time of price explosion, and you were in probably just in the business just a few years. I wasn't really in the business. I just happened to get lucky and own a property between 74 and 80, which prices tripled. But I don't think real estate had ever done that before. So I think there were far fewer investors that took on maybe 10 properties and thought they would ride that all the way up. We do a lot of speaking to investor groups, and I was always asking them, how many of you have been here before, say, 1997? And I was trying to get across the point that real estate can do harm to people if they have too much leverage. And, boy, that was just met with deaf ears.
Well, there are more people in big financial trouble because of real estate investments, which I would call greed purchases, now than probably ever before. And believe me, we have, unfortunately, some of our clients, but I told them repeatedly not to do what they were doing, which is to see how many properties they could buy for no money down so they could own a lot of properties. And they just continued buying it, and some of them are in real deep financial trouble that we're trying to help them out of now.
Well, I'd say...
Greed is never a good thing.
A lot of them, I'm sure, got the nice teaser rate adjustable loans, which are now going to pop into impossible payments.
Well, what's happening right now, I just wrote an article in USA Today last week where a fellow in Denver's payment on his property, I think it went from like $424 a month to like $1,850 a month in 1 month when the rate kicked in. And his answer was, now we can't afford to go out to eat, we can't afford to go to a movie, we can't afford to send our kids to private school anymore. Well, anybody that bought that house as a purchaser, as a buyer, that couldn't figure out what was going to happen in 3 years. Shame on them.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. I assume then that you feel like we're going to have a recession because I would think consumer spending is going to have to take a hit. Would that be correct?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we saw a shift from the stock market, the bond market, back years ago into the real estate market, and now we're just going to see a shift back into the stocks and bonds because the money in real estate is not to be made right now, so I'm not sure we're going to have a recession. Is just a major shift in where the money is being placed and put.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean the prices aren't going to drop, because whenever demand is gone, prices drop. Whenever you have excessive inventory, prices drop. That's normal. That's just a normal adjustment to the marketplace.
You teach in what other countries besides the United States?
Well, we try to stay just in North America.
Okay, so
we have done programs, and we coach people in Europe, in Australia, New Zealand, but we try to stay primarily in Canada and the U.S.
Okay. Since August 1st, there's been a tremendous change in the loan business, the type of loans that are available. How are the agents dealing with these changes where somebody actually has to qualify and have money?
It has been an amazing thing because we have a lot of our clients that had a lot of transactions and escrow pendings, and these were all under the old loan programs from 60, 90 days ago, where they've had all these transactions virtually fall out of escrow instantaneously. So now, of course, you have to go back to the what I'm telling our listing agents today, mm-hmm. an offer comes in through another agent. The first thing you say is, has your buyer been pre-qualified? They, of course, will say yes. Good. Give me the name of your buyer. I want my lender to pre-qualify them also.
Absolutely.
To make sure that transaction has a chance to go through. Second, I've told all of our agents, whether it be a listing agent or representing a buyer, to go out in the marketplace and find three or four stable, you know, conservative, traditional lenders that they can work with, and tell them, we're going to work with three or four all the time instead of just one, so we can't be put in the same position again.
You know, we had talked about the builders, and we got to wrap up in this the first segment here in this next minute. The builders are in escrow with probably tens of thousands of homes based on old qualifications. I talked to a building consultant, and he said they fully expect to lose 7 out of 10 sales in California.
I can believe that.
That's a tough one.
It should be no different from them than the residential market.
That's right. Well, Mike, we've got to wrap up this segment. We'll you'll join us again next week. Thank you very much for having this discussion with us today.
Well, thanks for inviting me, and I hope the listeners get something out of this. Look forward to seeing you.
All right, Mike, thanks.
You've been listening to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com or email questions and or comments to radio@thenorrisgroup.com. We'll see you next week here on News Talk 590 KTIE.